Good morning.
Good morning.
I see you all here in this nice, warm, sunny day, fanning away. Do we have any prayer concerns in Thanksgiving today to share? Any prayer concerns? Yes, I was just going to wait to see Rose. We definitely want to keep Jeff and Beth and the family in our prayers as we...
I just want to ask prayers for a lady from our lot. She is my friend, Jill Thomas. She's having brain surgery. They're removing a tumor. She has cancer for the second time. So they're doing surgery tomorrow. So, Jill Thomas.
Okay. But I was starting to say, we're sure to keep the Mavis family in our prayers for the loss of Wilma.
Wednesday in Saginaw, and asked Janet to follow the prayers. And also on Thursday, Al has to go to Ann Arbor, which is kind of an annual thing, but she was always the one who took him. So, but he's got somebody to take him on Thursday for his annual 3-doctor test. So.
Okay, thank you. And I'll share that if you did not hear this. Mary Nichols having surgery on Wednesday.
Wednesday,
and Al goes in Thursday, for his annual checkup, and there's a 3-doctor series of tests, so we want to keep both of them in our prayers. Anyone else? Any other Thanksgivings or concerns?
Update on our niece Ashton. Please continue your prayers, but she's doing well. She's home, and she still has her feeding tube, but she was able to go to preschool for an hour a day this week. And she loved it and did great adjusting to having all that in her classroom. And she's doing well. So just continue to keep her in her prayers because she will always have struggles.
Okay, thank you. Well, I'm sure to do that. Anyone else?
Yeah.
Okay.
I want to thank everybody that came yesterday. And we had a beautiful day. Beautiful day. And... I think the kids had a little fun.
I'm sure they did.
The hayride was a success, and I want to thank Mark Gordon for bringing this truck and wagon, and we had a ball. But the day was beautiful, and we just appreciate everybody that came.
That's wonderful. I was out of town. I wish I could have been there. Anyone else? Keep checking back here now. Anybody else? We can go to announcements, yes. Oh, wait, we've got another concern. You come on up and we'll let Gayla do it.
I've got a couple joys and one concern. One of the joys is the picnic yesterday was really great. So if you missed it, make sure that you put that on your calendar for next year. It was a fun time. It was a great thing to do. And thank you to the Potters and to the anonymous donor that they had for the... That bought all the supplies and so on, the hot dogs and the brats, and to Gordon's for the equipment for the hayride. It takes a lot of people to work together, and we can have some of these really nice events. The other joy I have is I was able to put sandals on again in the last Sunday in September, and I think that's a real joy. So I don't mind the heat. Now, the concern I have is that I'm having trouble finding volunteers to sign up for the nursery. So a year ago, we started a nursery team, and people signed up, and they could sign up for one Sunday every 3 months or 4 times a year, so that it was not a lot for any person. And that worked great for the first 2 quarters, and then the summer quarter didn't do quite as well, and I'm having a lot of trouble this quarter. So I need some new people. For various reasons, the original team has decreased by 3 or 4 people. I only need about 14 or 15 people altogether. And so right now I need about 6 more people that would be willing to sign up to take the nursery one Sunday about every 3 months or 4 times a year. So see me if you're interested. And I don't have anybody for next Sunday.
Any other prayer concerns or Thanksgivings? Okay, announcements we'll continue with.
I brought in the shoe boxes for the Samaritan's Purse. They are out in the narthex, but I will check with Russ as to where he wants me to leave them. I know tomorrow there is a funeral luncheon here, but there's also a list of things that you can take or give or put in the shoe boxes, and there is the names, you know, to check for a little boy or a little girl in the age brackets. But they are out in the narthex. I am not picking up the totes this year, so everything is out there. You fill up your boxes, you pay your $9 to ship them, bring them here, and we will take them to Open Door. Thank you.
Thank you, Karen. I also have an announcement I want to make myself that Tuesday night is a discipleship gathering, and it's at 6 o'clock, and it will be up here. And that leads me into garage sale, or rummage sale this week, isn't it, ladies? What days is it, Thursday, Friday? Oh, okay, Linda.
As you know, we're having our garage sale this week, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday. We're receiving contributions on Monday and Tuesday from 9 to 4, but during the funeral on Monday, between 12 and 3, we don't want anything to come in. After 3, you can bring some things in. We're asking if anybody brought anything today, it can be brought over to Wesley Hall and put in that back little hallway, or it can be brought into Wesley Hall and put in the hallway towards the back. If you have a really large piece, we'd kind of appreciate it if you wouldn't put it in there today. And the garage sale, like I said, is from Wednesday and Friday, and so we hope we get lots of contributions. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Okay, good question. Anybody else have an announcement or got that covered? Okay. How about birthdays? Any birthdays this week? No birthdays at all? Oh my goodness. What? This Thursday? That's what we want for this week. Okay, Brooklyn? Well, that's okay. Well, is she here? Oh, okay. Well, we still would hear. Any other birthdays? Oh, we can sing happy birthday to her. Happy birthday, Brooklyn. How old? How old would she be? 7. Ooh, very cool. Any anniversaries? Any anniversaries this hot weather? Oh, one last Friday over here. Okay, Benecki's. Any others? Well, let's sing happy anniversary to them. Good. Anything else before we start? Okay. Our opening song today is How Great Thou Art, and you see it on the screen or page 77 in the hymnal.
Consider all the world's I answer.
and everybody singing that song. It's just a powerful song. The choir behind me and all of you in front of me, what an amazing experience. For our opening prayer, please join me. Dear Heavenly Father, as we prepare to worship you together, quiet our minds to our busyness, open our ears to your word, and open our hearts to your message. New every morning is your love, great God of light, and all day long you are working for good in the world. Stir up in us a desire to serve you, to live peacefully with our neighbors, and to devote each day to your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ the Lord. Amen. Responsive reading is, if you're using the book, it's on hymnal on page 837 or on the screen. Right? It's going to be on the screen? It's not on the screen? Okay. It's 837 in your hymnal. And you will read the bold part, and I will read the... What? Oh, you want... Okay. You may sit, I guess, because you're going to be holding a hymnal. We'll let you sit. How's that? I had cues in the back row saying we need to sit. Okay, 837, Psalm 116. We will read it responsively. I will read the lighter print, and you'll read the bold print. Psalm 151 through 11. I love the Lord who has heard my voice and my supplications and has inclined his ear to me whenever I called. Death encompassed me. The pangs of Sheol laid hold on me. I suffered distress and anguish. Then I called on the name of the Lord. O Lord, I beseech you, save my life. Gracious is the Lord and righteous. Our God is merciful. The Lord preserves the simple. When I was brought low, the Lord saved me. Return, O my soul, to your rest. For the Lord has dealt bountifully with you. For you have delivered my soul from death, my eyes from tears, and my feet from stumbling. Walk before the Lord. I kept my faith even when I said, I am greatly afflicted. I said in my consternation, all humans are made whole. Thank you. For children's message today, we're doing something a little different. Our Superintendent Aaron is going to present Bibles today, so this is what we're doing for our children's time. Oh, I missed the hymn. I'm sorry. I'll get this yet. We have a hymn next. Okay. It's on page 156. I love to tell the story. Okay. We're all on the same page now? Okay. We're all set already. And would you like to stand for that and sing your hearts out?
Thank you.
back on the right track now. Now we will have Miss Aaron.
That was actually a perfect song to lead into this because today we are going to present our third graders and some of our older kids who haven't gotten their Bibles with the greatest storybook that was ever written. It's the great storybook. It's got wonderful stories of heroes and princesses and the best prince you could ever imagine. It's also a love story, not an ooey-gooey love story, but the best love story. And that's what I do in Sunday school. I teach the kindergarten through second grade, and my mom teaches the preschool, and that's what we do. We tell them the stories of Jesus. We're telling them the stories that they need to remember of Noah and Jonah and the Christmas story and the Easter story. And now when they get to third grade, it's time for them to start learning where these stories come from. It's time for them to use this book and learn to dig into it and to know how to find whatever they're looking for. This book is their instruction manual for life. Any questions you have, any needs that you have or worries, it's in this book. God gave us all of our instructions. We just need to follow it. So it's real exciting when they reach third grade. They've heard the stories. They're learning them. And now they're going to learn how to use this. They're going to dig into it, find the books, find the chapters, and be able to start telling those stories to others. So we're going to present these Bibles to our third graders now so we can go downstairs and learn our stories. Our first third grader is going to be Caleb Broda. And if you guys can stand up here when you get your Bible, come on up, buddy. There you go. And Rosemary has made sure that all of the kids, stay up here, Caleb, come stand with us. She makes sure that all of the third graders that get their Bibles, come here, buy my stuff. I know, we make you be the first one. They get these beautiful crocheted bookmarks to keep in their Bible, so they each get one of these too. Our next one is Grady Edward Goff. Riley Grace Moore. And Tegan Michelle McIntyre. These are our current third graders. Now, we hope that we gain more and more older ones and younger ones. So as they come in, if they haven't received a Bible, we will make sure that they get a Bible. It's not just a one-day thing. We will make sure they have one, which is why we want to make sure that we have some other kids that don't have their Bibles, and we're going to get them their Bibles today, too. And if you have a child that comes or you would like to start coming, make sure you let me know, and we'll make sure they have their very own Bible as well. Bree Jacqueline Medeiros. And Anna Hobson. And we have these other ones too. We have more. And we have Autumn. What's your last name, sweetie? Hernandez. Autumn Hernandez. Look at all these kids. Caden's not here today. Is Caden here? Did I miss him? No. Dylan Bittner. Come on, pal. I'll have them move this way when they're done. Go get your thing from the staff, then go back here. And Cameron Bittner. We don't need any injuries on the way. I know you're in fourth grade. We got to catch up here. You know. All right. Can I have my kid? All you guys kind of come down here so we can get a group picture of all of our kids receiving their Bible. Mallory, can you come here?
And a big hand for them too.
Oops, So kiddos, this is your gift from the church. This is from your church family because they care about you and they want you to have your very own Bible stories. And so take this home, read it, enjoy it, find verses you love, underline them. This is your book. This is your book to use. Bring it back to Sunday school because Miss Megan and Miss Stephanie and Miss Dottie and all of us, we're going to be using them in class. So, but bring it home, bring it here, use it. All right, thank you. We're going to go.
Hold it. One moment. On this special occasion of giving these gifts today to these third graders, seems like most of them are 7 or 8. I think it's only right that we have a prayer over the children and these new Bibles. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we come to you on this special day asking your blessing on this special occasion. We ask your blessing on these children and on these Bibles that they have been given as their own to read, to study, and to learn, and to build a personal relationship with you, Lord. May this Bible be a tool and a guide for their lives to glorify you in the coming days. We ask this in Christ's name. Amen. Who's carrying the flag? As they're going down to the Sunday school, we have a special treat today. Many of you know in the past, Audrey Labor, who's at Stonegate, isn't it? And Pastor Matt met with Audrey, and she did a testimonial. And with Russ and Bev Shoemaker, they have wrote it out for Audrey, and this is her testimony. Should be very interesting, as Audrey was known in this church as the prayer warrior.
Absolutely.
Did I recall?
Absolutely, and those, I know some of you newer ones won't remember Audrey, but all the rest of us, I know, have good memories of her because she is such a faithful, strong Christian. When we met with her, she had shared with Pastor Matt she'd like to do a share a story, we realized, Russ and I had gone to see her, and we realized how important it is to remember these people who can't physically come to church but listen faithfully, as they're still part of our church family. We want to remember them as much as we can in our prayers, in our thoughts, and in our visits. Audrey read this. We took it over to check with her the other day and make sure it was what she wanted, and she had tears, and it was a wonderful... happy tears, wonderful feeling, though she's feeling part of the church family. And I know you're listening today, Audrey. Like many of you, I was baptized as a baby. This took place in the Gagetown United Methodist Church. I really didn't become a Christian until years later when I lived in Florida. A neighbor of mine, who was a retired pastor, invited me to a church, and I started attending regularly. I have felt God's presence in my life ever since then. Sometime later, I was baptized a second time in my granddaughter's pond by Pastor Mike Smith, and that was something I had wanted to do for a long time. I remember experiencing an indescribable feeling when I came up out of the water, and I have never, ever forgotten that feeling. When I was a young newlywed, I lived about a mile and a half miles from my folks. One day, my father was killed in a farm accident when a large cider barrel fell on him. When my mother found him, she screamed so loud that the neighbors heard her. Someone came to get me, but didn't tell me why. When I walked into the kitchen, in my mind, I saw the words, "Your dad is dead," written on the wall. I knew that God was telling me what happened to give me the strength to help my mother get through what had happened. Many years later, I went to Mary Maxim's to get some yarn, but for some reason I ended up looking at books and wondering why, patterned books, and wondering why I didn't usually do that. But then I saw a book called the Prayer Shawl Ministry, and some of you will recognize that for sure. I bought it, took it home and read it, and proceeded to crochet 7 prayer shawls and 1 lap robe. I called Pastor Colin Stover. I lived out in the country at the time, but he came right out to my house. When he left, he took my prayer shawl book with him. He returned the next morning, all smiles. He wanted to share all this at church the next Sunday morning, which happened to be Palm Sunday. So all of my prayer shawls and the lap robe were on the altar that next Sunday. No one else knew where they had come from or who had made them. He introduced the prayer shawl ministry to the congregation and told everyone then that I had made them. Then we prayed over them, and I knew why I had ended up looking at books at Mary Maxim's that day. God was at work in me. After the service that day, a young girl, and I don't remember her name, asked me for a lap robe for her grandfather. I gave it to her, and the next Sunday, she told me that her grandfather wouldn't leave the house without his lap robe. Since then, I have made 131 prayer shawls and lap robes. As long as I can see, I will keep on knitting and crocheting. I also helped start the quilts for graduates in this church. I noticed that I had lots of red and black material and had worked on many of the quilts over the years, along with several other people in this congregation. It has become another great tradition, helping spread the love of God in this church to our graduates as they go out into the world, most for the first time. As a Christian, I read the Bible every day. When I finish the book, I start over again. It's very important for us to read the Old Testament, as that helps us understand the New Testament. I think everyone should read the Bible because it does so much for you. It covers everything and answers all your questions. If I were told I could leave you with one message this morning, I couldn't do it because I have three messages for you. 1, read the Bible. 2, love each other. And 3, believe.
If you're listening, Audrey, thank you. Thank you very much. I know that Bev did a wonderful job expressing the words that you want to inspire each and every one of us. Thanks again. We will now stand and sing the song, Surely the Presence of the Lord, page 328. Let us pray. Lord, we thank you for this day. We come to you in prayer, thanking you for all the gifts and the blessings that you have given to us, but especially for the greatest gift of all, your Son, Jesus Christ, who died on the cross for the atonement of sin for everyone, past, present, and future, because of the great love that you have for all of us. We ask your blessing, Lord, for all on our prayer list, but especially for the Wilma Mavis' family, as they have lost her this week. Put your loving arms around them, Lord, and let them know that you are with them and that you love them. Also, Lord, we ask your blessing on Al and Mary Nickel to keep them safe as they go for surgery and for a return trip to the doctor. Bless all on our prayer list. Lord, we pray that you will help mature us to strengthen our love for you and our love for others. We pray for your guidance when we face trials, problems, and temptations of this world, to help us make good choices according to your will and allow our faith in you to grow. Lord, we are all sinners, and we pray for your mercy upon us as we pray in unison together as you have taught us. Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us of our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. You may be seated. Oh.
Well, the good news this week is we were able to get the choir robes cleaned. I don't think they've been cleaned maybe in more than 10 years. And if you've been in the basement, particularly during the summer, you know how musty it gets. So the good news is that they're clean and hanging downstairs. The bad news is probably also good news. It was too warm to wear them today, so we're just anxious to be able to wear them. We're glad for the permission to get them cleaned after such a long time. Our anthem today, as you see listed in your bulletin, is Love Grows Here. It's one we've maybe been singing for maybe the last 4 or 5 years, at least once a year, and sometimes more than that. It's one that I kind of think we ought to keep handy because I think it ought to be the theme song of this congregation for those of us going here, because love truly does grow in this congregation. Thank you.
People here.
so nice having our choir back and the ministry that they bring to this church. While they're finding their seats, I don't remember where I even found this, but it's six tiny stories with great meanings to live by. When you throw a baby in the air, she laughs because she knows that you will catch her. That's trust. Every night we go to bed without any assurance of being alive the next morning, but still we set the alarms to wake up. That's hope. We plan big things for tomorrow in spite of zero knowledge of the future. That's real confidence. We see the world suffering, but still we get married and have children. That's love. Once all the villagers decided to pray for rain. On the day of prayer, all the people gathered, but only one boy came with an umbrella. On an old man's shirt was written a sentence, "I'm not 90 years old. I am sweet 16 with 74 years experience." Now that's attitude. That's what we all need. Our scripture reading today comes from Hebrews chapter 11, verses 1 through 6. And I'm reading from my own Bible, the New Living Translation. What is faith? It is the confident assurance that what we hope for is going to happen. It is the evidence of things we cannot yet see. God gave his approval to people in the days of old because of their faith. By faith, we understand that the entire universe was formed at God's command, that what we see now did not come from anything that can be seen. It was by faith that Abel brought a more acceptable offering to God than Cain did. God accepted Abel's offering to show that he was a righteous man. And although Abel is long dead, he still speaks to us because of his faith. It was by faith that Enoch was taken up to heaven without dying. Suddenly, he just disappeared because God took him. But before he was taken up, he was approved as pleasing to God. So, you see, it is impossible to please God without faith. Anyone who wants to come to him must believe that there is a God and that he rewards those who sincerely seek him. There's no title in your bulletin this week because it's the longest title I've ever wrote out. How did I come about this topic? It's because of that inquisitive mind of mine. Bev asked me, says, how do you always come up with so many topics? I said, because I'm inquisitive. Whatever I'm inquisitive about, that's why I end up talking about, because I'm always looking for answers. Why does God require faith? Why doesn't God just show himself to us to prove himself so that there would be no need for faith? Quite a question. I bet every one of us has had that same question in their lives. You know the old story, seeing is believing. Just like the apostle, Doubting Thomas, who had to see and touch the resurrected Jesus to believe rather than believe his fellow disciples. You can find that in John chapter 20, verses 26 to 28. I ask you, are you a doubting Thomas? Many people struggle with a lack of faith. John chapter 20, verse 29. Then Jesus told him, "You believe because you have seen me. Blessed are those who haven't seen me and believe anyway." Does that mean that we are to have blind faith? Which leads us into today's message. First, I think we need a better understanding of faith. The dictionary defines faith as, first definition, trust in somebody or something. The second definition, unquestioned belief in God, especially without logical proof. In the Bible, as we read just now in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1, tells us that faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. Perhaps no other component of the Christian life is more important than faith. In fact, it is so important that without faith, we have no place with God, and it's impossible to please Him. This is why we need faith. God designed this way to distinguish between those who belong to Him and those who don't belong to Him, and it is called faith. Very simply, we need faith to please God, our Creator and the Creator of the world. Living in this fallen world, faith is what gives us hope and sustains us to the end of this life, knowing that by faith, we will be in heaven with God for all eternity. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 8 and 9. Though you have not seen Him, you love Him. And even though you do not see Him now, you believe in Him and are filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy. For you are receiving the goal of your faith, the salvation of your souls. Where does faith come from? Faith is not something we just conjure up on our own, nor is it something that we are born with, nor is faith a result of studying to gain knowledge of it. It is not obtained by any power of our own. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9 make it very clear that faith is a gift from God, not because we deserve it, not because we have earned it, or that we are even worthy of it. Faith is simply given to us by God by hearing His message and wanting to come to Him on our own free will, along with His grace, mercy, and love for us, according to His holy plan and His purpose for us. And because of that, God receives all the glory because of what He did on the cross for us. Hebrews chapter 11 is known as the faith chapter because it records great deeds of faith from the past, such as Abraham, Noah, Moses, Joshua, David, Abel, and many more heroes of faith. Clearly, the existence of faith is demonstrated by the action of God's children. The action of God's children. According to the Bible, faith is essential to Christianity. Without demonstrating faith in God, we have no place with Him. We believe in God's existence by faith. Most people have a vague notion of who God is, but they lack the attitude necessary for His exalted position in their lives. These people lack the true faith needed to have a relationship with God who loves them. Our faith can falter at times, but because it's a gift from God, given to us, His children, He provides times of trial and testing in order to prove that our faith is real and to strengthen it. James chapter 1, verses 2 through 4. Consider it pure joy when we fall into trials, because the testing of our faith produces perseverance and matures us, providing the evidence that our faith is real. Now that we have a better understanding of faith, where faith comes from, why we need faith, and some biblical examples, we're ready to move on. Did you know our relationship with God is similar to our relationship with others, and that all relationships require faith. We can never fully know any other person. We cannot experience all that they experience, nor enter into the minds to know what their thoughts and emotions really are. Proverbs chapter 14, verse 10 says, "The heart knows its own bitterness, and a stranger does not share its joy." We are incapable of even knowing our own hearts fully. Jeremiah chapter 17, verse 9 says that the human heart is wicked and deceptive. Who can know it? In other words, the human heart is such that it seeks to hide the depth of its wickedness, deceiving even its owner. That's you and I. We do this by shifting blame, justifying wrong behavior of us, and minimizing our sins, etc., etc., etc. Because we are incapable of fully knowing other people, to some degree, faith or trust is an essential ingredient in all relationships. For example, a wife gets into a car with her husband driving, trusting him to drive safely, even though he drives faster than she would on wintry roads. She trusts him to act in their best interest and safety at all times. We all share information about ourselves with others, trusting that they will not betray us with that knowledge, especially on Facebook. We drive down the road, trusting total strangers driving around us to follow the rules of the road. So whether we are with strangers or with intimate friends or companions, because we cannot fully know others, trust and faith is always a necessary component of our relationships with everyone. So if we cannot know our fellow finite human beings fully, how in the world can we expect to fully know an infinite God? Even if he should desire to fully reveal himself, it is impossible for us to fully know him. It is like trying to pour the ocean, seemingly an infinite in quantity, into a quart measuring jar, which is finite. Impossible. Nonetheless, even as we can have a meaningful relationship with others that we have grown to trust because of our knowledge of them and of their character, so God has revealed enough about himself through his creation. Just look around you. The sky, the stars, the galaxy, the oceans, the lakes, rivers, earth, the seasons. In 1 Romans, verses 18 through 20, "But God shows his anger from heaven against all sinful, wicked people who push the truth away from themselves. For the truth about God is known to them instinctively. God has put this knowledge in their hearts. From the time the world was created, people have seen the earth and sky and all that God has made. They can clearly see his invisible qualities, his eternal power and divine nature. So they have no excuse whatsoever for not knowing God." God has revealed enough about himself through his written word, the Bible. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 and 17. "All scripture is inspired by God and is useful to teach us what is true and to make us realize what is wrong in our lives. It straightens us out and teaches us to do what is right It's God's way of preparing us in every way, fully equipped for every good thing God wants us to do. God has revealed enough about himself through his Son, Jesus Christ, here on earth. John 14, verse 9. Jesus replied to Philip, "Don't you yet know who I am, even after all the time I have been with you? Anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. So why are you asking to see him?" God has revealed so many things about himself that we can enter into a meaningful relationship with him. But this is only possible when the barrier of one's sin has been removed by trusting in Christ's person and work on the cross as payment for one's sin. This is necessary because, as it is impossible for both light and darkness to dwell together, so it is impossible for a holy God to have fellowship with sinful man unless his sin has been paid for and removed. Jesus Christ, the sinless Son of God, died on the cross to take our punishment and to change us, that the one who believes on him can become a child of God and live eternally in his presence. We find this in John 1, 12 and 13. But to all who believed him and accepted him, he gave the right to become children of God. They are reborn. This is not a physical birth resulting from human passion or plan. This is rebirth, comes from God. There have been times in the past that God has revealed himself more visibly to people. One example of this is at the time of the Exodus from Egypt, when God revealed his care for the Israelites by sending the miraculous plagues upon the Egyptians until they were willing to release the Israelites from slavery. God then opened the Red Sea, enabling approximately 2 million Israelites to cross over on dry ground. Then, as the Egyptian army sought to pursue them, through the same opening, he crashed the waters upon them. You can find this in Exodus chapter 14, verses 22 to 29. Later in the wilderness, God fed them miraculously with manna, and he guided them in the day by a pillar of cloud and in the night by a pillar of fire. Very visible representations of his presence with them. You can find that in Exodus chapter 15, verses 14 and 15. Yet, in spite of these repeated demonstrations of his love, guidance, and power, the Israelites still refused to trust him. When he wanted them to enter into the promised land, they chose instead to trust the word of 10 men who frightened them with their stories of the walled cities and the giant stature of some people that lived there. You can find that story in Numbers chapter 13, verses 26 to 33. These events show that God's further revelation of himself to us would have no greater effect on our ability to trust him. Were God to interact in a similar fashion with people living today, we would respond no differently than the Israelites did, because of our sinful hearts are the same as theirs. I know that each one of us here today thinks that we would respond differently, but the truth is, we probably would not. The Bible also speaks of a future time when the glorified Christ will return to rule the earth from Jerusalem for 1,000 years. You can find that in Revelation chapter 20, verses 1 through 10. More people will be born on the earth during that reign of Christ. He will rule with complete justice and righteousness. Yet, in spite of his perfect rule, the Bible states that at the end of the 1,000 years, Satan will have no trouble raising an army to rebel against Christ's rule. The future event of the millennium and the past event of the Exodus reveals that the problem is not with God insufficiently revealing himself to man. Rather, the problem is with man's sinful heart. Rebelling against God's loving reign, we just plain sinfully crave self-rule of ourselves. God has revealed enough about his nature for us to be able to believe and trust him. He has shown through the events of history and the workings of nature and through the life of Jesus Christ that he is all-powerful, all-knowing, all-wise, all-loving, all-holy, unchanging, and eternal. And in that revelation, he has shown that he is worthy to be trusted. But as with the Israelites in the wilderness, the choice is ours to each one of us, whether or not we will trust him. Often we are inclined to make this choice based on what we think we know about God or what someone else thinks about God, rather than what he has revealed about himself to us and can be understood about him through a careful study of his word, the Bible. If you have not already done so, begin a careful study of the Bible that you may come to know God through a reliance upon his Son, Jesus Christ, who came to earth to save us from our sins so that we might have a loving and faithful relationship with God both now and in a fuller way in heaven one day eternally. My brothers and sisters, I ask you to make every effort to confirm your calling. We keep the faith by remembering God's faithfulness and continue to grow in relationship with him. Remember, what we do today prepares us for whatever is in store for each of us tomorrow. Thank you. Will the ushers please come forward?
Pain we bear, all because we do. you will accept these gifts from us and given to you in thanksgiving for all that you have given to us. Please bless these gifts that they will be used for your ministries to spread the good news and to glorify you. We ask this in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Our closing hymn. And anyone that knows me knows that whatever I give a message on, if I can use this as the closing hymn, it's my favorite song. It moves me inside. Listen to the words. It's asking every one of you a question. Here I am, Lord, page 593. Song says an awful lot to me, and I hope it says a lot to you. Is it I, Lord? Here I am, Lord. And he's telling you, you're not going alone. He's with you every step of the way. We all need to be active as disciples, spreading the word of Jesus Christ in this community and everywhere we go. And remember, what we do today prepares us for what's tomorrow. Are we all ready for the judgment day? Our sending song is Sweet, Sweet Spirit of page 334 and also on the board.